Indeed, he is the great King of glory, the Lord of hosts. It is him who we serve. And when we know him, when we know him and all of his wondrous and glorious, his saving works, oh, beloved, then in our hearts we know that he deserves all the glory, all the praise. When we know our own selves, we know that he is the one who has saved us, who has redeemed us from the pit of hell itself. How could we not but love him, worship him, praise him, and serve him? We continue in our study this way in the Sermon on the Mount, coming to Matthew chapter 6 now. This is page 811 in the Pew Bibles, page 811. We'll be reading Matthew chapter 6, the first four verses. This will also be our text this morning. Matthew chapter 6, beginning at verse 1, hear now the word of God. Beware of practicing your righteousness before other people in order to be seen by them. For then you will have no reward from your Father who is in heaven. Thus, when you give to the needy, sound no trumpet before you as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may be praised by others. Truly, I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. As far as the reading of God's holy word, may he add his blessing to it this day. Beloved people of God, called to be saints in an age of social media, internet, cable news, and 24/7 news cycles, it's true that no good deed goes unpunished. Things caught on home security cameras get leaked. Cell phones in our hands create a post about events without any context, and they end up online moments after they happen, and people's lives can be ruined in the course of a mere moment. This is true. But on the other hand, social media is also used by attention seekers who broadcast every good deed they do for the whole world to see. Put a post on social media so that I can get my likes and my comments. In fact, there are entire YouTube channels dedicated to this exact thing. The more views, the better. The more adoring comments, the better. Because all that translates into more views, more glory, more advertising revenue. More and more personal glory. More and more personal admiration. Beloved, all that is dead set against how the Christian ought to be conducting himself or herself when it comes to our service to others. There's nothing wrong when people recognize what we've done, per se. But there is something wrong when that recognition is the entire reason that our service to others is rendered. So do you hear the difference there? We're talking about a difference of motives. Why do I do what I do? You see, in the kingdom of heaven, service is to others, but that's not its ultimate purpose. Its ultimate purpose is for God and his glory. Because as we said, he is the one who drew us out of the kingdom of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of light. He's the one who took us who were dead in our sins and trespasses and made us alive together with Christ. We were dead. God made us alive. He deserves every last bit of glory. We are called to practice righteousness, as the text says, but not for the praise of our neighbor. We do these things so that those who worship our saving God may always be increasing in number. Remember back to earlier in the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 5:16. In the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and what? Glorify your Father in heaven. Beloved, our God today reminds us that we serve for his glory and not our own. That's our theme. Our God reminds us that we serve for his glory, not our own. We'll look at this from two perspectives, two headings, two points. First, giving as hypocrites. and then giving as the godly. Giving as hypocrites and giving as the godly. So first then, giving as hypocrites. Let's go right to our text, verse 1 of chapter 6 of Matthew. Beware of practicing your righteousness before other people in order to be seen by them, for then you will have no reward from your Father who is in heaven. So at first blush, maybe we think that this is a contradiction. This is a contradiction between what we just read in Matthew 5:16, in the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. But now we read, don't let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. What is going on here? Are we supposed to be public with our good deeds or not? Well, congregation, the first couple words of verse 6, practicing your righteousness. Catch those words. Practicing your righteousness. Tell us we're talking about something slightly different here. It's definitely related to letting the world see that service that we do to others to serve the Lord. But Jesus, our Lord, is speaking of a specific kind of service here. That we may behave at work and school and general in the public. It is a sign and evidence for all the world to see of what God has done by his grace in our lives. That we as fallen human beings who are dead in our sins and trespasses, the world sees something has changed in us. Where there was death, there is now life, and that should be attractive and flavorful to the world. Our external righteousness, beloved, those things that the world sees should be in line with our internal righteousness, the hidden person of the heart. And that is where those little words, practicing your righteousness, come in. They signal that we're talking about our personal godliness, the hidden person of the heart that only God himself sees. The internal righteousness out of which our external righteousness, the works of our hands and the words of our mouths flow from. And so today we're called to examine the motives for the ways in which we serve. Why? Why do I do it? So that I would receive praise? So that I would be recognized in the community or maybe just even in the church for what I have done? Or that the love and mercy of God would be seen and he would be praised for what he has done? If we know our own hearts, this is not always an easy task, is it? This side of glory, we know our motives are always a mixed bag. Sinclair Ferguson makes the point that because of this struggle, practicing this form of self-denial and setting aside money for the church or setting aside times for spiritual things like spiritual disciplines like scripture reading and prayer, he says this is our spiritual vitality. It's our spiritual life. Building spiritual muscles doesn't just magically happen. It can only happen in the power of the Holy Spirit, but as new creatures in Christ, it's part of the way that you and I deny ourselves, take up our crosses, and follow him. The Christian life is constantly one of putting to death the old man and enjoying the coming to life of the new man. And so then, our Lord gives us an illustration. Verse 2 of Matthew chapter 6. Thus, when you give to the needy, sound no trumpet before you, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may be praised by others. Truly, I say to you, they have received their reward. In the day of our Lord, the most common way of charitable giving was through almsgiving. And this was typically done at the temple. Think of the widow's offering in Matthew 12, verses 41 through 44, who gave that one little mite. There were also beggars in the streets, and one could drop a coin or two in their cup. Well, the problem was that many of the Pharisees loved these opportunities. They loved the fact that I get to go to the temple so I can praise God, extol him for his mercies. No, so I can drop my alms in the box for all to see. And it wasn't just one or two coins. Did you see? I dropped 5 or 6 coins in there. Let the world know. Did you see what I did in the back of the temple? Or they'd be walking down the street and very publicly there is a beggar sitting there with his cup. The Pharisee would walk by and drop a couple coins in that cup and they would clink. And crowded street would see, oh, did you see what he did? He went over there. He gave 4 or 5 coins to that beggar right there. You see the problem here? It's the problem of motive. The problem was that they did it not so that the poor and the widows could be provided for or as an offering to the Lord in response to his wonderful mercy and grace, but as a way of gaining standing in the community. Think about it this way. If building naming would have been a thing in the times of the ancient world, the Pharisees would have been the first in line to give generous donations so that the new school could be named the Amos Bar Asher Center for Hebrew Studies. Get my name on the building. They would have been the first in line. So to give, to serve as a hypocrite, is to give externally, to give in a way that the world maybe sees, but a way that it is not in line with the person internally. In line with what has happened in one's heart by the grace of God. Remember, beloved, Cain and Abel both gave appropriate offerings to the Lord. But what made them acceptable was not how much they gave or how nicely the offering was arranged upon the altar. What made these offerings acceptable was not what Adam and Eve as their parents thought as they looked and watched them give these offerings. It was about the heart that did the giving. In Hebrews 11, verses 4 and 5, we're told that Abel gave out of a heart that was full of faith, a heart that loved God. Well, Genesis 4, verses 1 through 7 tell us that Cain gave to his offering begrudgingly. Notice he was comparing himself to his brother, comparing the outcome to his brother. Abel comes by faith before the Lord, giving to the Lord out of the abundance that he had given him. No mention of his perception of Cain. Abel comes comparing himself to his brother. What he did externally came from a heart that was full of greed and selfishness internally. And so, too, the Pharisees loved to give publicly to great fanfare. Hence, our Lord's reference to the sounding of trumpets in verse 2 of our text. Jesus says, don't give as the hypocrites do. The ancient world, the original meaning for the word hypocrite was literally an actor from the theater. He was one person on the street. And he played out, he acted out another person on the stage of the theater. In the congregation, you see, that's the problem. When our personal piety, our devotion, our holiness, when it flows not from a heart of thankfulness to God, that desires praise for God, but from a heart that desires praise for self, recognition for self, glory for self. When we do that, we act as hypocrites, actors, players on the stage of life. The fleeting applause given after a performance is thunderous sometimes. But Jesus says, if that's your motives, this will be all the reward that you ever get. Children, perhaps you've been to a play. There was a play over at Pix just a few weeks ago, and I know that some of you went. And what happens after the play is done? The actors come out on stage one by one. They take a bow, and the audience erupts in applause. But tell me, after you went to that play, how often have you thought about it? You gave that thunderous round of applause the night of the play. Soon it's forgotten. Jesus is saying that if you serve him, supposedly, with this heart that seeks that, the applause of others, your reward will be very short, very fleeting. The recognition that you get from the other people in the church, your friends and family, the people at the school, it's here today, it's gone tomorrow, and your reward is gone. We are called not to give as hypocrites, as play actors or movie actors, but as godly men and women and children who delight in the Lord. Delight in the Lord who saved us by his sovereign grace. We are called then, secondly, this morning to give as the godly. And so look at verses 3 and 4 with me in our text. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. The Apostle Peter strikes on a similar theme in 1 Peter 3 when he speaks to Christian wives about their appearances. He says this in 1 Peter 3, verse 3. Do not let your adorning be external, the braiding of hair and the putting on of gold jewelry or the clothing you wear. He continues in verse 4. But let your adorning be the hidden person of the heart with the imperishable beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which in God's sight is very precious. So we're not trying to get derailed here into talking about appearances, but the principle applies. Just as we give with the idea that I'm doing this that the Lord may be seen and glorified, so that I may be glorified, so too the Apostle Peter says, well, let not your appearance be the thing that glorifies you, but let what makes you you be the quiet thing, the gentle attitude that you have, that the Lord himself sees. And that, Peter says, he finds precious. You see, that's the question that we are each asking ourselves. Am I doing these things so that other people will look at me, give me praise and glory, give me encouragement, give me that pat on the back, think of me in a certain way? Or because I am a gentle and quiet person who delights the Lord, because I am one who God himself looks at and sees as precious? It's not that what we do externally doesn't matter. It's all about where those external actions come from, why they are done, what the motives are. And so was it wrong for the Pharisees to go to that temple box, the alms box, the backs of the temple? Was it wrong for the Pharisees to drop a silver coin or two in the beggar's cup? No. But instead of seeking to please God, who sees that inner precious person of the heart, they were doing so that the world would see them as something special. And so there are ways of giving, ways of serving the Lord that don't make a scene. In fact, it's part of the reason that we pass around offering bags when it's time for our offerings. So you can put our hands, reach your hands in there and drop something in so others do not see exactly what is being given. It can be done discreetly. Other churches, even in our own denomination, do what was done at the synagogue. They have an offering box at the back of church so that the offering can be dropped off discreetly. You see, the gospel gives us that kind of humility. When we recognize just how deep our sin goes, exactly how unworthy we are on our own, how could we not but give God all the glory for what he has done? The Pharisees were puffed up by what they did. Believers are filled in spirit by what God has done for us. David says in Psalm 115, 1 and 2, not to us, O Lord, not to us, but to your name give glory. For the sake of your steadfast love and your faithfulness, why do the nations say, where is their God? Our God is in the heavens. He does all that he pleases. And so, beloved, as we each examine our hearts and our lives, our motives this morning, let us ask ourselves the question, why do I do what I do? Is it so that others will see? So that others will perceive me in a certain way? So that others will give me the recognition that I think I deserve? Or does that flow from the fact that I am a sinner saved by grace? Praise God Almighty. Christ himself laid down his life for me. What can I render to my Lord? Beloved, may each one of us give from this way. Give from this motive. Serve from this motive. That God is our Savior. That God is our Father in heaven because of the atoning blood of his Son, Jesus Christ. Because I, who was dead, am a new creation through Christ and the power of the Holy Spirit, serving my Lord. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we praise and thank you for all that you have done. May you receive all the honor and glory and power and strength. You are the one who stooped down to this world to save sinners, not who were deserving, not who loved you, not who even desired you, but sinners who hated you, who rebelled against you, who spit upon you, who cursed your name, who were dead in sins and trespasses. But because of that great love with which you loved us, you have made us alive together with Christ. You have seated us with him in the heavenly places. You have made us objects of your great mercy for the world to see. And so, Lord, in response, may we serve the world, not for our own glory, not for the praise and applause of our neighbor, but that you would receive glory for all that you have done. That those who are seeking to worship in spirit and truth would worship the one worthy of all honor and glory and praise. That the kingdom of Christ would go forth, creating worshipers in every single corner of the face of this earth. And Lord, we look forward to that day when our motives will be pure, when every hint of sin will be destroyed, when every hint of injustice will be gone, when every hint of self will be done away with, and Christ will be all in all. It's in his name that we pray. Amen.